So as we start this lesson today, we're going to introduce our panelists again. I'm Doris, and
I'm Hazel.
I'm Joe.
And all of you out there, I hope that you will have some friends with you as you listen in today, or share the article with your friends. What are we talking about now that we studied yesterday and we're going to continue today?
Right. So yesterday we were talking about ways of disconnecting from our technology and our work. Today we're talking about important reminders to ask for help.
And our lesson started on page 34, and we're going to do 35 in a minute. But Hazel, I'd like to ask you one question here. Is there any difference in being mentally and emotionally healthy? Can you be one and not the other?
Well, I think they're both related to one another. So if you're, I suppose they can be separated. You talk about them in separate ways, mm-hmm. but often you talk about them if you're mentally unstable. Maybe it's because you're emotionally unstable.
I think emotions affect it, don't they?
Yes.
Right, because you know, our emotions, how we feel, affects how we think.
Mm-hmm. Right, your mindset and everything. So we're trying to find ways that different people can relax. Now, when you relax, then you don't have to worry about these things. But if you don't know how to relax, then you have to seek help. And we're going to talk about seeking help today.
That's right. And it's an important thing to do. Sometimes we think we can be by ourselves and do what we need to do and we are strong enough, but we're not. We need other people to help us.
Well, it's sometimes the people that need the most help don't even realize they need it. It's hard to convince them they need help. Isn't that true?
There's a lot of pride when it comes to asking for help. You have to let your guard down before you can really reach out to someone.
Well, and some people think they really don't need it, but other people see they do. So, and this is one of the problems. So if you think you need help, you're supposed to start early. So we're going to look at page 35 now and see what it says. What does it say for the top of the page there?
Important reminders to ask for help earlier than you think.
Earlier than you think. Let's find out what they have to say about that. Let's read that first paragraph.
Important reminders to ask for help earlier than you think. People come to me as a life coach with a variety of issues, ranging from relationships to regrets to rage. In the vast majority of cases, I wish they came to me sooner, because as the old saying goes, prevention is better than cure. Here is why it's important to invest in the help you need early.
So today we're going to talk about people who need help. And so the person that wrote this article says, people come to me as a life coach. And it's kind of like a mentor, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So she is a life coach, the writer of this article, and people need help with a variety of issues.
Okay. What kind of things do they come to her about?
For life coaches, it looks like there's a whole range of different issues, from relationships to regrets to rage, pretty much any sort of life problem dealing with emotions or connections with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, in most of the cases, well, she'll say, I wish they'd come to me sooner because I wanted to help them before it got so bad. But sometimes you don't even realize how bad it's getting.
That's right. So it's probably good to evaluate from time to time how relationships are going or how your job is going before you get into big trouble. Things usually get worse and not better if you don't take care of them.
Well, and they say this, that prevention is better than cure, and that's true with health issues, too, to try to prevent getting sick instead of just taking medicine to get over it. Isn't that right?
Right. Taking early action is better than dealing with terrible consequences.
So that's why it's important, then, it says, to invest in the help. It could be money, of course, to pay for something, but it could be investing your time. Just to think about the fact that you need help. You invest a little time trying to figure it out.
Right. And maybe you can find a good friend to help you or someone from church that you could rely on.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. And so there's several things here that they mention. And the first one is problems that are unaddressed. That means they're not taken care of. We think of being addressed like an envelope, but unaddressed here just means that are not handled or not taken care of. What happens to problems that are not taken care of?
They often get worse. They don't go away on their own.
They expand. They get bigger, don't they?
Yes, they do. That often happens.
Well, let's see what we find out about that. Let's read number one.
One. Problems unaddressed expand. A strange sound coming from your car's engine is a bit like a yellow traffic light. It's a warning. Pay attention to it before you have to stop. A client of mine confided in me that her daughter was doing drugs with her friends. She said, looking back, the yellow signs were all there. A poor report card, then another. She was getting home later and later every evening and suffered from mood swings. She brushed it off as adolescence, until her daughter got in trouble with the law. What signs might you be missing?
Okay, there's a strange sound from your car, and it reminds you of a yellow traffic light. Now, I don't know how that happens. How does that happen?
I often, when I see this, I actually think about the engine light or the gas light that comes on your car when you're running low.
Mm.
And some people, like my sister, when she's driving, the gas light comes on, car says she needs gas, and my sister goes, I wonder how far I can take it.
Oh, no. I say, where's the nearest gas station? Because I don't want to have that happen to me. Yeah?
Right. You need to take care of the problem
right
before it's a crisis.
So you have to pay attention to it before you have to stop or the car stops itself, right?
Right. And she compares this to a yellow traffic light, which to me is a little bit different, too. But a traffic light, when you see yellow, you need to prepare to stop.
Caution.
Yeah, you should prepare to stop. In my hometown, people drive faster. That's dangerous.
Right.
Well, or perhaps it means like a yellow warning light.
Right.
You need to slow down and pay attention.
That's true. Train tracks and things like
right
that. Yeah. And so it says here that a client of hers said that her daughter was doing drugs. Now it says doing drugs. And it's interesting. You could say they were taking drugs. But we often say when people are on drugs that they do regularly, we say they're doing drugs, don't we?
Right. Doing drugs, on drugs, taking drugs. It's all bad. It's all kind of the same, and it's all bad. Dependent on drugs, addicted to drugs.
Right.
And there's many kinds of drugs. I mean, there's very strong drugs, and then there's these things like marijuana that aren't so bad. They're just doing it. But those things will still affect you. So if you're doing drugs, it should be kind of a warning.
Right. And if you use doing drugs, it's almost always bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes you take medication, but if someone says, I'm doing drugs.
Right, I'm doing it regularly, right.
And the client confided in her, so she didn't perhaps tell everyone, but she let this one person know in confidence, secretly.
Right. So she thought about, well, what were the yellow signs? What showed that there was something wrong? And it wasn't that she said she was taking drugs, but she got a bad report card. And then what else happened?
Another bad report card. She was getting home later and later every evening, and she suffered from mood swings.
Wow.
And so these are all warning signs. Instead of saying yellow signs, you could say warning signs that something bad was happening. There was something changing in the daughter's life.
Well, whenever people are on drugs, they don't realize that it can cause a mood swing. What is a mood swing?
Well, maybe one minute you're happy and then you're not, you're sad. Or
next minute you're crying.
Yeah, or perhaps actually the daughter's personality was usually happy and responsible, and then suddenly it just changes and she's irresponsible, unhappy, angry.
Right, and when we say mood swings, it's different from something bad happened and I'm now in a bad mood. There's maybe nothing that's going on, and it's
back
just
and
swinging
forth.
Back
right
and forth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For no reason. But she didn't think it was very important. And what phrase did she use here?
She used the phrase, brushed it off. So she just didn't think it was important. She brushed off as adolescence. Ah, she's a teenager.
And when you use that phrase, brushed it off, it often comes with an excuse. Well, there's a reason. She's growing up.
I'm too tired.
New school. It's, you know, no problem.
I don't like my teacher.
Yeah, so
like
you make an excuse for it, or just say it's not important.
Say it's not
nothing.
Important.
Right. And sometimes when you talk to people who are having problems, they'll just brush it off. And they'll say, oh, I'll get over it tomorrow. But then they're still that way. So you can't brush it off if they're that way all the time.
That's right. But then her daughter got in trouble with the law. Then it's too late to just brush it off.
So the parents probably should have noticed these signs too. So what signs might you be missing about yourself? It's hard to find them yourself. But even if your best friend tells you, you better think about it. If they say, you seem kind of different, maybe you should think about it.
That's true. And sometimes now if there's a problem, you can even look online and see if it's a real problem or see if you should perhaps find help.
WebMD or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And having close relationships is a really good way of catching problems. I feel like when you're isolated, when you're by yourself,
right,
it's very difficult to catch what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why a lot of people like to go to church, because when you go to church, you find people there that are sympathetic and they try to help you. And you want to go someplace where people help you. Isn't that true?
Right. And, you know, Hazel a little while ago was mentioning about the word confide, to tell someone maybe a secret or to talk and trust. It's important to have people you can confide in and talk about your issues.
That's true. And so these are some things that people might have to do. They might have to address the problem. If it's unaddressed, then something bad can happen. And what happened to her daughter?
Well, she was taking drugs.
And she got in trouble with the law.
The law.
Right. So then it asks that question, what signs might you be missing? Is there anything in your life that's perhaps different than it was, or is starting to go off track?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, but I think if you're always unhappy or you cry easily or everything seems bad in the world, that could be a sign. What do you think?
Sure.
If all of a sudden you're very pessimistic, you're not optimistic, that would be a kind of a sign, wouldn't it?
I think so. You know, if you're in a bad mood 3-4 days into the week, I feel like something greater is wrong other than just how you're feeling.
It's not just the people in the office, it's you. So sometimes you have to think about it, don't you think, Hazel?
Yeah, I'm beginning to see my problem, I think.
That's what it is. So you might be missing some of those signs.
Right, so it's a good idea to kind of back away once in a while and just think, am I doing okay? Am I feeling okay? Am I optimistic enough? Am I looking on the bright side?
That's true.
During our last session, we talked about the word ritual. And a ritual I sometimes hear people do is maybe once a week on a Sunday, while at church even, they'll step back and say, like, how am I feeling? How is my week going? And they have that process of looking for signs.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even sometimes when you go to church, the singing will make you feel happy too.
Sure.
Change your mood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's some other things, you know, we're talking about things that are not noticed or addressed. It says here the solutions are out there. Solutions abound if you start early enough. That means there are many of them. It's not that there's no solution. A solution is an answer to the problem, isn't it? So let's read number 2, solutions abound early on.
Two, solutions abound early on. However large or small the concern, the earlier something is treated, the better the chances of a positive outcome. Ask yourself, will it be easier to take care of this now or later? The answer will almost always be the former. As time goes on, solutions dissipate. So be honest with yourself now. You can pay now or pay more later.
So what do you think about this one, Hazel?
I think generally it's true. There are more options early on, perhaps. If you wait, maybe you won't have as many choices about how to resolve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But not always. Sometimes problems do resolve themselves, so that's where it takes discernment.
It's hard to know.
Should I worry about it, or should I just wait a little bit and see if it takes care of itself?
And that's a good word there, discernment. Being able to look into a situation and say, is it appropriate for me to act on it? Do I need to do something about this problem?
And that's why you have to have a mentor or a friend sometimes, because it's hard when it's you that's involved. Will it be easier to take care of it or later, now or later? And most people think, I'll do it later. Isn't that the truth? And then sometimes it's too late.
This is the art of procrastination.
Right, putting it off. Really, that's one of the big things. It really makes it hard to know what to do. And so you have to think about these things ahead of time. And you don't know what you're going to do, because if I do something, then people might think this or think that, and you think, oh, I'll just not worry about it. We're kind of afraid of what other people will think, won't we?
Sometimes that's the reason we procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's hard to know what the right thing to do is. For instance, maybe you have a bad relationship or a bad friendship, and you think, no, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to make any waves. And so you wait and wait, and the situations continue to get worse.
That's true, yeah. So then we're going to have to go to number three and see what they say in there. What is number three?
Number three is relief is golden.
So relief is golden is an interesting phrase, because I've heard them say another phrase about golden. What is that?
Silence is golden.
Silence is golden.
My mother told me that a lot.
Yeah, when you were a little boy, you must have talked a lot.
All
yeah,
the time.
Let's be quiet for a while. But, you know, relief means that if we can relax a little bit, it's a treasure. Isn't that true?
That's what the writer is saying here. And I've never heard this phrase either, but I think in some ways it's true.
I think she's just using this, mm-hmm. you know, as a way to illustrate the fact that, oh, it's going to be so good if you can get help. So we have to find out what that is. Let's read that one now.
Three, relief is golden. You know that feeling when you've been delaying something, feeling bad about it, sweeping it under the rug and it just festers? Seeking help eliminates that in an instant. It's freeing. It's liberating. It's good for you. One of the most positive human emotions is relief. Don't deprive yourself of it. We all need a little help sometimes with our bodies, our relationships, our direction, our growth. There's strength, not shame, in seeking it.
Well, it is nice to get relief from something. That means that all of a sudden things are better, and we don't feel that way anymore. Don't you think that would be really a treasure?
No, it's a nice emotion, and especially if you're stressed out about a situation, to experience that. Relief feels really good.
Right. Maybe a big project that you're working on, a big deadline, or something that you need to do and you haven't done it or you've been putting off. Finally, when it's taken care of, we say you have a sigh of relief. Whew, that's over.
Well, you know, there are some things that bother us, and then we say, well, I'm not going to think about it. And when we say, I'm not going to think about it, what is the idiom that we use for that?
When we don't think about things, we often sweep it under the rug, try to hide it.
Now, what did that idiom come from, do you think?
Well, maybe you're sweeping, and instead of going to the trouble to pick up the dirt and the dust, you just lift up the corner of the rug and sweep it under
And nobody
there.
Will see it there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's under the rug. No one will see it. It's
but
under
it's
the carpet.
It's still there. It doesn't get
but
rid of it.
But when the pile gets high enough, there's a lumpy rug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you sweep something under the rug, you sort of hide it, but it's still there. And that's a good idiom to know. Don't sweep things under the rug. Some subjects we don't want to talk about because they make us upset or somebody else, but sometimes they need to be talked about because we have to say what we think about them. We shouldn't sweep everything under the rug. We should solve the problem, shouldn't we?
Right. It feels easy at first to sweep things under the rug, but just like Hazel was saying, you keep sweeping, 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 and all of a sudden your rug looks very strange.
Well, that's true. Even for married people, like Joe, if you have a problem with your wife, you say, I'm not going to mention it. And then they'll know. And you say, well, I'll sweep it under the rug. But you better just talk about it. Right.
Otherwise, it'll start to fester. It'll grow, spread, and get worse.
Right. And so I think it's good to know that we shouldn't sweep things under the rug. Sometimes we find that in governments and things, they try to sweep things under the rug because they don't want to get people upset. But then pretty soon, somebody pulls up the rug and finds it under there, and then it's bad.
Then it's a lot worse, and then it's, why did you hide all the secrets?
It festers. What does it mean to fester?
So fester, it's interesting. Fester is always negative, right? Fester means to grow and spread, and it's for a problem.
Well, sometimes you hurt yourself and a dog bites you or something like that, and it's okay if it goes away, but it festers and gets pus on it and stuff.
Right. I think of an infection. It looks gross, nasty.
Right. So you got to take care of it, and you can't just ignore it. So if you seek help, it gets rid of that. It eliminates it. The word eliminate just means to get rid of. You want to get rid of the problem, so talk about it and get it out of the way, right?
That's right. And this says that seeking help eliminates that in an instant. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure. Some problems there's no instant relief for.
That's true.
But it can, we use the word vent or mm-hmm. complain or just let someone know, get something off your chest. So that can be liberating and help you.
The word liberate means to be delivered from something. So, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Right. You have some kind of freedom from a situation. Maybe you felt chained down by all the stress and guilty feelings, and you start to talk and find some help and get liberated.
So it says here that one of the most positive human emotions is relief, right?
That's what it says. It's freeing, it's liberating, it's good for you.
Right, and so don't deprive yourself of that. And so don't deprive yourself of help and conversations with others.
Now, the word deprive is an interesting word because we feel that we deserve privileges and so forth. But deprive, then you go without something, right?
Right. So deprive means to go without, sometimes water or food or this
privilege.
Some people
feel deprived if they don't have something or other, right?
Mm-hmm. Something you'd like but you don't have, or something other people have but you don't.
I remember while writing my thesis, I was starting to get these dark circles under my eyes because I was really depriving myself of sleep.
That's right. When you deprive, there's bad results of this. And sometimes we all need a little bit of help with friends and, as I said, go to church or some other way. Get some help and get some directions of what we should do. And then you'll be stronger. It's not a shame. You don't just say, I feel like I'm too weak. People will think I'm not very good. No, everybody needs help sometimes.
I think this is hard, though, and it depends on what kind of culture you're in, because some cultures are not very open to the idea of exposing a weakness or a flaw.
Well, most people aren't. Isn't
right.
that true?
Yeah, I think most people don't enjoy pointing out their weaknesses or that they need help.
You try to hide them under the rug.
Yeah, but there are a few people we probably know that don't mind doing that, and we listen to them often.
They tell everything right. Yeah.
Yeah, but usually we think of it as a weakness to have to share our problems,
we're
ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but this says that we shouldn't be ashamed. It's a strength. There's strength in that because we can get help, so we should seek help.
Right. Something Doris had mentioned earlier is often we need a mentor.
Right. Somebody to help us.
Someone to kind of guide us through life. And mm-hmm. I often think that my life has benefited a lot having mentors who are maybe 20, 30 years older
than me.
Because they've been through a lot of the things that maybe I'm going through.
They say, what happens? We've done that. It helps you a little bit.
Right.
Well, to stay mentally and emotionally healthy is not easy. We think about our health, we talk about exercising, eating good food, and we read articles about it. We think about it a lot. But it's also important to stay emotionally healthy. And you can control your emotions a lot by your thoughts. And if you have the right mindset, say, I'm not going to be negative, and you can start out that way, it'll help a lot, won't it, Hazel?
That's right. That's right. So we need to share our problems with others and take care of them as soon as we can, not sweep things under the rug that might fester later.
Right, or continually putting things off.
Well, and like we found out yesterday in the lesson, take a break sometimes and relax, and then go back to your work refreshed. So just remember that you can get help, but also you can help yourself by starting out with the right mindset and just say, I'm not going to let that bother me, and when something comes up, I'm going to try to get it solved. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug, and you'll have a better life.
Right, and another thing is if you see lots of problems, don't brush off the warning signs. Don't just brush it off. Actually see if there's something more serious going on.
Mm-hmm. So for all of you that are listening in today, do you have any final words you want to say, Hazel?
Seek help if you need it, and have the right kind of friends.
Right. I think, again, just really hammering down this idea of a mentor, someone who's going through life with you and
right.
who has more experience, I feel is so key to really find those good solutions and have a good listening ear. Good
friend loves at all times. That's our song that we sing, right? Friend lasts a lifetime. Somebody you can trust, right? So these are some good phrases we've learned, and your mindset is very important in all this. And remember that you yourself can control many things by the right mindset. So think about this, and we'll have another type of lesson when you come back next time. So come back and join us again, Hazel.
Sounds good.
And you too, Joe, and we'll see you all next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.